Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Our Podcast Could Be Your Life. My name is Caroline.
I'm Jeff.
And today we are taking another stab at talking about one of my favorite bands, Devo.
Yes, this is our second shot at this episode, as our first one suffered from technical difficulties.
Yeah, and you missed quite a doozy of an episode.
Was it a doozy?
Yeah, don't you remember how we got Gerald Casale?
No.
No? he talked about his 9/11 themed wedding that he had.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was more topical at the time.
Now, at the time, yeah. Right,
now it's like 2 weeks later. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a stupid thing to have done.
Yeah, it was. Not showing the greatest amount of tact.
Yeah.
On Gerald Casale's part.
Well, I hope his marriage lasts however long those things are supposed to last.
Then again, Devo was never the most tactful of bands.
No, and that is kind of an interesting, like, journey of discovery for me.
In what, like, sense?
Well, because, like, in high school, like, I didn't know what mongoloid meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's probably racist. And it is, but not in the way I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, like, kind of, oh, dear, I probably shouldn't love this band so much, but
nonetheless.
Yeah, when you're young, you deal with what you have. And they're a great band anyway.
They were a great band.
For a while.
For a pretty brief period, really.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, well, I guess I do know, because we talked about it already, but Devo didn't stay good for very long, in my opinion. I think you share that opinion with me.
Yes, although I think I like more of their material than you do.
Do you like New Traditionalists?
I like two songs on New Traditionalists.
Well, then, I think you jump ship at about the same time that I do.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're pretty much on the same page, although I think you probably like Devo more overall than I do.
Yeah. Well, I think they were like one of my, like, life-changing high school, like, pieces of media.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, so they have, like, I have this, like, really personal connection with them and with their music, so.
Okay, I didn't realize.
Well, just with their music, not really with them as people. I don't know them. I don't care to, but.
Well, you know, Mark Mothersbaugh was in our lives at a very early age.
That is right.
Because of the Rugrats soundtrack.
That's right. He also did the music for 13. Catherine Hardwicke's 13.
All right.
A classic of pearl-clutching cinema, which I've seen many times.
Pearl-clutching cinema.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other classics of pearl-clutching cinema?
Oh, sure. Cyber Seduction, His Secret Life, the internet pornography movie.
I'm not familiar with that.
All right. It was a Lifetime movie. 13 was basically a Lifetime movie, but it got a lot of accolades that it really didn't deserve. Because people are like, what are these girls doing? My goodness, we don't know where they go.
Only 13 had the truth to, or the honesty to speak truthfully about the experience of the teenage girl.
Yeah, and the thing that was really weird about that is, I don't think that this was intentional on the part of the filmmakers or the writers of the film. And one of the writers of the film was, like, 15. But one of the things that was, like, supposed to be so shocking is, like, their dalliances with boys, but specifically their dalliances with, like, black boys. So it was pretty racist, too, in that kind of 50s way. Also, when I was in 7th grade, I wasn't, like, dropping acid in public places and, like, you know, making a fool of myself.
Well, you were a good girl.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I didn't do anything cool. I was just kind of a bitch to, like, my entire family.
Mm-hmm.
But that's being, like, in middle school. I'm sure you were, too.
Yeah, yeah, I was okay with my family. I was a real asshole to my teachers, though, for sure.
No, I was good. I was good to my teachers. All my teachers have always liked me.
I was pretty mean to the teachers that I didn't like.
Oh.
The ones that didn't recognize that I didn't need their class.
Ah.
Those are the ones I hated.
Yeah, I think because my mom was a teacher, I was like, well, I know that these people have to deal with a lot of bullshit.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I feel bad in retrospect.
Yeah.
About how much of a little asshole I was, but...
You grew up into a perfectly fine person.
But you know what? Like, Miss Fisher, like, I got hundreds on all her tests, and she still wouldn't let me read, like, when she was fucking doing her stupid lectures that I didn't care about. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, just leave me alone. Your class is extremely easy. I don't need it, honestly. And, like, I guess she took it as an open display of contempt when I would read during her lessons. But, you know, I had more important shit to do.
What kind of stuff was middle school age Jeff reading?
Oh, this was high school.
High school. What were you reading in high school?
I had already become, like, full-blown pretentious at this point.
Yeah.
I was reading, like, Thomas Pynchon and... I don't know. I read Infinite Jest in high school, actually.
Yeah, I did,
like,
too.
Like, my senior year of high school.
I did, too.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, my senior year, too.
So, a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Sad Boy Canon. I think I read White Noise that year, also.
White Noise is good.
The Don DeLillo. Yeah, White Noise is really good. Or at least that's how I remember it. Maybe it wouldn't be that good.
I just remember the thing about, like, the most photographed barn in the world.
See, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, well, that always stuck with me. Shit like that always stuck with me. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Like, the world's most photographed barn?
Yeah, just stuff about, like, the way that people construct experiences. All that kind of bullshit. I was always quite fascinated by that. I can't believe I'm not smoking right now. Really should be, but I don't smoke in the house.
Did you like Infinite Jest?
I did. I can't imagine I'll revisit it anytime soon.
Well, it's really long.
It's really long, and the footnotes is a real problem for me.
You need two bookmarks.
Yeah, and I don't care for that.
I mean, that whole, like... Even just that is sort of a, like, snide postmodern joke that, like, it has footnotes that go on for 15 pages and shit, like...
Yeah, and it's all, like, just put it in the damn book. if you need it all in there, just put it in the book.
I guess that movie about David Foster Wallace just came out recently.
The one with Jason Segel?
Yeah, the trailer makes it look boring. But
yeah,
and, like, I don't really care that much about David Foster Wallace as a guy. Like, he's not, like, a hero to me or anything.
Yeah, he as a guy seemed, like, kind of oof.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, in what sense?
I think he was an asshole to women and stuff. Hmm. I've heard tell.
Okay.
And I kind of have a personal stake in people not being assholes to women.
Sure,
I would prefer that they weren't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know that much about him, like, personally.
I don't know that much. I've just heard, like, here and there, like, oh, yeah, he was kind of a dick.
Yeah, well.
Aren't they all?
Aren't they all?
So anyway.
But this isn't the literary hour with Jeff and Caroline.
It could be.
You know, I don't read, like, ever anymore. it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I've mainly just, like, I've been going back and reading, like, the Philip K. Dick books that I have on hand.
Okay.
Yeah. But this isn't the Philip K. Dick hour.
No. My university library has, like, 60, 33 and a third books, so I've decided I'm just going to read all the ones they have.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
They have a... there has to be one on the first Devo album, right?
No, there isn't. There is one on Freedom of Choice, actually. But that came out recently. There isn't one on their first album.
Oh, well, maybe that'll be my claim to fame.
There you go.
I always said I wanted to write one about Bullhead, but...
You should.
I should. I don't think... they don't have a selection process. You could just... judging on some of the shit I've read.
Well, I was just looking on there recently, their website, and they just posted the shortlist from the last... they did, like, an open call
for
proposals, and they got, like, 600 proposals, and they made a shortlist of, like, 80. And there's all these people in the comments, like, I worked so hard on my proposal, and I didn't make it in.
Yeah, well, the thing
like,
about
well,
that
there's
is
600
gotta,
of them.
Yeah, you gotta know. Like, yes, you work hard, but part of writing is you're not gonna get accepted everywhere, especially something like that. That's why you should have a podcast, because there's no selection process. You could just say whatever you want.
Exactly. You and I can just ramble on about bullshit.
Ramble on.
Yes. we can ramble on by Led Zeppelin. We could talk about that song.
Sure.
Do you like that song?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin.
I never need to hear any Led Zeppelin song again.
I know, right? Like, I can't imagine anything I have less interest in than listening to Led Zeppelin. Not even because I dislike them, but just
yeah,
because
like, I actually like I don't dislike
they're
them.
They're fine.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't need this.
Right.
Like, I went through a Led Zeppelin phase when I was like 13 years old, and that was good enough.
And Sabbath is better.
Oh, yeah.
They were just cooler.
They were cooler, and they were better. They inspired better bands.
That's true. Well, I think pretty much everyone listened to Led Zeppelin, so...
Yeah.
In a sense, you could say.
Yeah, but okay, but like, when you think of the band, like, bands that really took a lot of influence from Led Zeppelin, you think of, like, shit, like, dumb shit, like, The Darkness.
Pearl Jam.
You think of, like, Black Sabbath influence, you get your Black Flag.
Melvins.
Your Butthole Surfers. Your Electric Wizards and such.
Sure, sure.
So.
That's true.
Think Devo ever listened to Black Sabbath?
I'm sure they've heard Black Sabbath at some point in their life.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's reflected in their music, but...
I don't think so.
But, I mean, we've all heard Black Sabbath.
Sure. My mom used to have a mint copy of Paranoid because she listened to it once. She thought it was horrible. And she sold it for, like, a shit ton of money. So, good for her.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Though she doesn't have Paranoid anymore, and that's an awesome album.
It is an awesome album. But yeah, it was like she got it like when it first came out because like my mom likes stuff in kind of that vein, and she was like, "Oh, I don't like this at all." And then she listened to the Moody Blues album about the times of the day.
Which album is that?
That's Days of Future Past. It's all about different times of day. It's fantastic.
That sounds nice.
It's great.
I don't think I've ever listened to a whole Moody Blues album.
You should. They're good.
Okay. I don't think I've ever listened to a whole Electric Light Orchestra album either.
They're pretty good, too. I don't like them as much as the Moody Blues, but that's probably because, like... I don't know. I remember being like 6 years old. My mom would put on The Threshold of a Dream and all the spoken word bits that I think are so silly now. Like, I would get so scared.
I've also
spooky.
I've also never listened to an Emerson, Lake, and Palmer album.
They're not very good.
That's what I've always
I've
assumed.
I've tried because yeah. I like that kind of shit, but no, they're not very good.
Yeah, I have pretty big holes in my like 70s, 60s schlock repertoire.
Yeah, you don't need it. Like if that's not the kind of music that gets you,
it's really not.
Like, yeah, you don't need it. It's
like
fine.
I read the 33 and a third about Forever Changes and like tried to like get into the album again after several attempts, and I just don't like it that much.
Nah, that I love that album.
It's just hippie shit, man.
Yeah, well, I was like 15 when I heard it, and I was all about hippie shit.
Well,
speaking of hippie shit, Devo partially were founded because I believe Gerald Casale and Mark Mothersbaugh both went to Kent State, and they were really pissed about A, the way it was covered, and B, like the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song Ohio, which they saw as just like rich hippies making a buck off of a tragedy.
Sure.
And so that inspired them to start Devo.
Interesting.
Which is a lot about, you know, media and mass media and how nobody is really as smart as they are.
That's true. Devo comes from the Frank Zappa tradition of believing everyone is stupider than you are.
Yeah, and that's why they were such a big deal to me in high school. And same with Frank Zappa. Like, when you're in high school, you kind of want to believe that.
Oh, I totally believed that when I was in high school.
I don't know if I did. Like, I don't know if I totally did, but I would never have said it. I would always have said, like, my stock answer of I'm dumber than everybody, but I definitely did believe it, like, judging by how I acted and, like, everything about me back then. I definitely did think I was, like...
Well, you know, in retrospect, like, I had very little reason to believe this, because, like, I wasn't a good student, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a very average student. I made good grades on tests and shit, mm-hmm. but like, I never did my homework, so...
Yeah.
I got a lot of C's, you know.
Yeah, that was the thing with me. Like, I've always been really good at taking tests. Mm-hmm. Like, but, yeah, I got good grades, but it wasn't because I worked hard. It was just kind of... Because, like, I never skipped class because I didn't have a car and I didn't really have anywhere to go. Mm-hmm. So I was just always there, so I just, like... was able to fake that I knew all that shit.
Mm. Well, I remember my, this is fun. My SAT score was higher than, the average SAT score for people that got admitted to Duke.
Mm-hmm.
But my GPA unweighted was like a 2.95 or something like that.
Do you remember your SAT score?
It was without the writing portion, which they didn't count because we were like the first year they did that.
Yeah.
And like nobody counted it apparently. So I had a 1380 on
the nice.
SAT. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, this is.
And really, the only reason I remember that so well is because Harry was really pissed that I scored higher than him. And he thought for a while, like when he first got his score, he was really excited because he thought that he did better than me. And then he realized he did the math wrong and I actually did better than him.
Nice.
And yeah. And I like rubbed that in his face for a really long time.
Yeah. Mine with the writing was like 1780 or something. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But what I do remember is I did really, really well on both the reading and the writing portions. Like, I got, like, in some of the highest percentile or whatever. Like, I don't know how they count that shit. Like, 98th or something. Mm-hmm. And for the math, I was, like, sub. Like, for the math, I was, like, 400 or something.
Damn.
Like, it was so bad.
It's pretty low.
Yeah, but I knew I would be able to make up for it.
Are you that bad at math?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky I got out of any math class I've ever taken. I'm lucky I got out of it alive.
Yeah, I'm kind of a jack of all trades, I guess.
Master of none.
You know, that's probably true, actually. I do feel like I am, like, decent to good at most things, but mm-hmm. I'm not really, like, excellent at anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel that, except I'm not that good at, like, a lot of stuff. But, like, the stuff that I... Like, I'm passable to good at a lot of stuff, and then I'm just... But I never get that hurdle of being, like, really good at something.
Right. Yeah, I'm that way. Like, writing, you know? I feel like my writing is, like, competent, but it's always very, like, stiff-sounding, I think.
Yeah.
Which bothers me. I can't, like, get that stiffness out of my writing. I hate it.
Yeah, well, all my writing would always kind of be like a Philip K. Dick book, where I would go into a lot of detail and then I would want it to be over, so I would just like really rush the ending.
That's funny.
But yeah, I don't take writing very seriously anymore, because like I took it so seriously and I was like, oh my god, everything I write is so beautiful and painful.
Is that what and you thought just, of your writing?
Yeah, it was all very like David Cronenberg like body horror poetry.
Mm.
And yeah, it was awful and it was stupid and I got no enjoyment out of it.
Do you have that stuff?
Yeah, I have a lot of it.
I want to read it.
Oh god, no you don't. It's disgusting and stupid. But like all of my dumb avant-garde friends were like really into it. So they were encouraging all of my terrible bullshit. And then I was like, I don't really enjoy doing this anymore, so I stopped writing.
Right on.
That was a good idea.
Not writing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, because, like, I'm good at it. I actually think I'm, like, above average as a writer. But if you don't, I like the writing that I have to do, like, that I've had to do for school, and I don't mind, like, doing legal writing and stuff, but, you know, creative writing, I get no real enjoyment out of it, so.
Except your Silicon Valley fanfic.
That is true. I can't believe you told everyone.
You told everyone.
That is true.
You tell everyone all the time.
I do not.
I didn't think it was a secret.
Yeah, well, it's not to the... dumb people I talk to on Tumblr about Silicon Valley fan fiction.
But to your podcast listeners.
But to my podcast listeners and to everyone else in my life.
It's all right. We don't have
to. It's embarrassing.
We won't tell them anything about where you write or what your screen name is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's John Munch 420. I write for various fandoms just about what if this character smoked weed.
Is that really your name?
No.
John Munch 420.
No, I wish it was.
Hmm.
No, it's what if Columbo smoked weed? What if Ice-T from Law and Order Special Victims Unit smoked weed?
Please, that guy smokes weed.
No, Ice-T I know does not. Ice-T is like straight edge.
Oh, really?
I don't think he calls it that. I don't think Ice-T is a big Fugazi fan. Although maybe he is. But,
dude, my favorite thing about Ice-T, I watched the movie Breakin', like, a year ago or something.
Yeah, and he's in it.
Right. I was looking at the Wikipedia article, though, and things said it was like, Breakin' was Ice-T's first appearance in a film, although he would later go on to call both the film and his appearance in it, quote, whack.
I love that.
I just love that, like, the one word in quotes is whack. Like,
yeah, and he was right. It is all, whack.
No, Breakin' is a terrible, terrible movie. Like, there's nothing in that for anyone other than, like, 80s kitsch.
Yeah, and we're over that.
Well, I mean,
society.
And the dancing. Like, the dancing is cool, I guess, if you're into dancing. But
yeah, it's like any kind of like, dumb movie about skateboarding or whatever. Like,
right.
What's that movie? I was going to say Dogtooth. It's not
Dogtown and Z-Boys. Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's like skateboarding is cool, because skateboarding's cool to look at.
Sure.
But yeah, could you imagine if Dogtooth had skateboarding in it?
No.
Yeah, well, they probably would have. Well, you know what? Those kids probably would have gotten out of there.
That's true.
If they could do some sick skateboarding moves, then their parents probably would have been like, yeah, okay, we'll stop doing this dumb shit. We'll keep you locked up even though you're like 30.
That's a great movie.
It is a great movie, but my goodness.
Let's talk about Devo, though.
Yeah, their first album, Q, Are We Not Men? A, We Are Devo, produced by Brian Eno.
Old Sourpuss.
Old Sourpuss came out in 1978. It is one of the greats of time.
One of the greats of time?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's my pull quote.
One of the greats of time.
Yep.
Caroline. Yeah, awkward title, but everything else, I mean, this is, you know, they had nowhere to go but down from this album. It's wall-to-wall greatness. It's one of the greatest post-punk albums of all time. It's one of the great, just one of the great albums. I mean, I have literally no complaints about this album. Every song is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And, you really owe it to yourself to listen to it if you haven't.
This is kind of a funny story.
Mm-hmm.
I was 16. I was listening to this album a shit ton because it's amazing. And I was talking to my uncle about it. And I was also listening to the first B-52s album like a lot at the same time. My one uncle is like, yeah, well, like people that are serious about music, we don't listen to that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay. Okay, dude. Not everything has to be Weather Report.
Is that what your uncle was into?
Like, yeah, well, like, shit like that. Like, shit that's very, very technical. But what he didn't understand is, like, a song like Jocko Homo is pretty technically complex.
Sure.
Like, what's the time signature on that? It's like what, 7/4? Four? Yeah. That's not like
that is an awkward and tricky rhythm.
Yeah, that's not the Ramones, you know. Has a real bone to pick with the Ramones in particular.
Because they destroyed music.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, if you're not in, if you, not only if you're not into punk rock, but if you hate punk rock, basically the history of rock music for the past like 35 years is not for you.
True.
So that kind of sucks, but if you're a normal person who has good tastes, then the past 35 years of music have been great, and Devo in particular have been great.
Sure.
For a very brief part of that time.
I mean, this album is really good.
It's got gut feeling.
It does have gut feeling. A fantastic song. Built on a dark driving guitar riff that is repeated over and over again until builds further and further with bass and synthesizer and until it finally gets to a vocal portion. And man, that song is really good, man. I just love that. I've had just about all I can take. You know, I can't take it no more.
Oh, yeah. It was in Life Aquatic.
It was in Life Aquatic, yes.
Yeah. That's a good movie.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a movie that, like, If you're not on board with Wes Anderson,
not for you.
It's not for you. But if you are on board with him, it's good.
Yeah, definitely. Really, every song on this album is good. Probably Shrivel Up is my favorite, actually. It's probably my favorite Devo song, actually.
Really?
It's just creepy as shit, man. Like, it's scary sounding in a way.
Yeah, it sounds very, like, subterranean.
Yeah. Like, well, that riff is, like, dead sounding, you know? It sounds like, you know, zombies marching or something.
It does, yeah. It's a very spooky song in time for Halloween.
Definitely.
The most wonderful time of the year, because it's Monster City.
All right. Your well-documented love of monsters.
Yep.
So I can imagine this is a good time for you.
It's a wonderful time for me. I'm having a great time.
Already?
Oh, yeah. Watching all my horror movies. And...
Oh, what you been watching?
What did I watch? I watched... What did I watch? No, actually, all weekend I just watched John Waters movies, but those are horrific in a way.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, I watched The Omega Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good movie.
I have not seen that.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
You like the 70s?
Like for cinema or in general?
Both?
Sure.
All right. Then you should check it out.
All right.
But yeah, I would say that like their cover of Satisfaction is like their mission statement.
Hmm.
Devo, I mean, not right. The Omega Man. Cause that wouldn't make sense.
That would not, no, that I don't, but, think, I don't think anyone was thinking that.
All right. So yeah, like, just that they completely discard the guitar riff, which is like the best part of the Rolling Stones song.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just like, no, we don't need it. Well, and they just turn it into this really weird, fucked up kind of song.
Yeah, this jittery, anxious thing.
Yeah, just like that over and over, that baby, 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 baby. Like, to the point of you can't, like, I don't know how he, like, continues to say the word baby, because, like, when I try to do it, I'm just like, oh, baby, 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 baby. And it's, like, stupid.
Can
but
I try? Can I try?
Do it.
Baby, 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 baby.
You did it!
That's not bad. No.
Yay!
Yeah. I don't sound as good as Mr. Mothersbaugh does.
Who does?
He's got a weird-ass voice, man.
He does.
I don't know how he, like, does that.
Well, I think that's just what his voice is.
Yeah, but you think, though? You don't think that's, like, an affectation? His weird, like, yelp, strained, like...
Well, I mean, it is. It is, but I think that, you know, like... I don't know where I was going with this.
Me neither.
God damn it.
I don't know where you were going with that.
Huh.
Bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
Has no place on our podcast.
Yeah, we are a strictly nonsense-free zone.
Business. All business.
Yep. So, first Devo album is great. My favorite song... Oh, you know what song is really great? I don't know if it's my favorite, but Space Junk.
Oh, yeah. Space Junk's cool.
That do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, that keyboard part is really pretty on it.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure if I am totally on board with, like, the middle section where he's, like, yelling out states.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, I love any song where they yell out states and cities.
Name three other songs where they do that.
Heart of Rock and Roll is Still Beating by Huey Lewis and the News.
okay.
Shit. That was all I got.
but you love that song?
Not really.
I have poked giant holes in your thesis, Caroline.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a good song. I love Praying Hands.
Oh yeah, one of the great Devo songs about Jack in it.
You're sure?
They have many.
What, like what else?
A bunch of their hardcore Devo stuff is all about Jack in it and fucking, and more specifically, not fucking, because look at them.
Right.
Yeah, it's like kind of gross. They have other, well, like jerking back and forth.
Is that what that's about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, and like soft things is about titties. Just like, come on, you can do better than that.
Soft things.
Yeah, we can all do better than that.
Praying Hands, yeah, I just love Praying Hands. I love that call and response in Praying Hands. I think that would make a fun live song.
Oh, but, yeah.
Man, I'd like to see Devo live.
Yeah, like with Bougie Boy.
Brian Eno said that the early Devo shows were some of the most exciting rock shows he had ever seen.
Well, I read that one time they opened for Sun Ra, and they did Jocko Homo for like 25 minutes, and they were like booed off the stage. Like the people that were there to see Sun Ra were not having it.
That's like really hilarious.
I know, but yeah, but they would like they would intentionally do whatever they could to annoy and alienate the audience. You know why? You know why?
Because they were punk as fuck.
No, you know why it is? It's because the people that spend their money to go see, to go pay for your show, they're stupid. So you should make them feel stupid.
Well, that is Devo's worldview, you know?
Yeah, the whole devolution thing.
It's right there in their name.
It's very appealing when you're in high school and you think that you're smarter than everybody else.
Right. Yeah, the idea that mankind is devolving.
Mm-hmm.
Getting stupider.
Yeah.
Getting more, I don't know, evil, I guess.
Yeah. And I go by the Joan Didion school. Joan Didion wrote an essay about the architecture of some museum that had opened in California, and she said, "We've never been any better than we are, and we'll never be any better than we were," which is a very politically unpopular opinion. And I kind of think it's true. I don't think that we're particularly worse. I think mass media and everything, it's just a different permutation of the same kind of thing that we've always been about. I think humans have always wanted to deny uncomfortable truths and to distract ourselves. I don't think wanting distraction is bad.
Well, you know, the 20th century was the bloodiest in human history.
Yeah, I don't doubt that that's true.
So there's that.
There is that.
Maybe we are getting worse, man.
No, well, I think we just developed more efficient ways of killing each other.
Well, you could say that's a kind of devolution.
I suppose you could. But you know what? I don't really think Devo are doing anything to help.
Well, I mean, they're taking a postmodern ironic stance toward it. Which,
yeah, what's that doing?
Which isn't helpful.
No.
I agree. But you know, I guess you could say they're part of an absurdist tradition where, you know, the world is fucked, let's play in the ruins.
Yeah, and I kind of, you know, part of that appeals to me, definitely.
It's tempting, definitely. It's a tempting worldview to just sort of greet the evil of the world with an ironic smirk, but
yeah,
but
it's like the situationist,
right? It's really not helpful, though.
No,
it's probably a bad worldview.
Yeah, but you know,
what are you gonna do?
What am I doing? I'm not exactly helping anything.
I mean, I'm planning on being dead. in like, you know, 50 to 60 years, if not sooner. So
so you're going to say, like, I'm planning on being dead, like, soon. And I was like, no.
No, no. I hope to live to, you know, maybe my 70s.
That's a good goal.
Then I don't give a shit.
And then, like, you'll see what happens.
Right. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Although, I'll probably be one of those old people that, like, starts doing heroin and stuff, because I'm like, at this point, what's it matter?
Although I've always said, if there is some sort of, like, apocalypse scenario that we enter in, I'm probably just going to kill myself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to live through that. Like,
yeah, I don't want to, like...
Is life really worth it in, like, the midst of an apocalypse?
Yeah, it's like the people that think that they're going to, like, I'm really going to be kicking ass. It's right. Like, probably not. And I don't want to be around the jerks that think they're going to do that.
Right. Have you ever met people that, like, tell you about their zombie apocalypse survival scenarios?
Yes, and I can't fucking stand it. A, zombie apocalypse shit is stupid. Listen, I love Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead as much as anybody else. But the whole zombie apocalypse thing is stupid. And your survival plans are stupid. You're not a badass. You're just going to cry, and you'll probably be a zombie too. And we'll all die together. And it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
And it's not real.
It's not real.
It's not real.
Dude, you know what other song rules?
What?
Sloppy.
Yes, that song is great.
I love that shit. I love the way the hook, like, gallops, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's so sloppy. She's so sloppy.
Yeah, that shit's
and
great.
That, like, ticking noise, that, like, dee, 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 dee.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
It's a great album.
It is a great album.
Their second album, I think, is great.
Hold on.
Oh, shit.
You didn't mention Comeback Joni.
Oh, yeah, that's a good song. That's, like, kind of a twangy, like, country kind of song that I like.
A little cowpunky.
Well, yeah, a little. A
little bit.
That's, yeah.
A little bit.
I guess.
All right, we can talk about the second album now.
Yeah, Duty Now for the Future. For a while, I called this my favorite Devo album. And I wouldn't anymore, because the first album is their best album.
Their first album is perfect, and this is not perfect.
Yeah, I do like this album a lot. I know that I like this a lot better than you do.
I think it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, it is.
And I think the best songs are excellent, but...
What would you count among the best songs?
I think the two best songs on this album are Blockhead and Swelling Itching Brain.
Yeah, you'd probably be right.
Thank you.
My favorite song on this album is The Day My Baby Gave Me a Surprise.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Right.
I talked about this last time. That Devo, they have certain, like, chord progressions or something that just, like, make me kind of emotional. And that is present in that song. I don't know what it is. I just really like that song. And, like, I like Triumph of the Will. Like, that's a really creepy song. But, yeah, I would say, like, and... Yeah, like, this has, like, stupid song. Like, Pink Pussycat is stupid.
Yeah, that song sucks.
But, like...
It almost single-handedly ruins the album.
I don't know if I'd say that.
I'm just being a dick.
But this also has a Smart Patrol, which is fantastic.
Smart Patrol / Mr. DNA.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. DNA. It's about Arno and Lindsay.
Oh, yeah?
No.
I thought you were being serious.
No, but could you imagine? That would be great.
That would be cool. I think it's about sperm.
Probably.
That's the impression I get listening to it.
Is that the impression that you get?
That's the impression that I get. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam,
bam. They were the band in Clueless, right?
I've never seen Clueless, actually.
Really?
Really.
Clueless is good. You should watch it.
Yeah, I intend to. Just haven't yet.
Clueless holds up, except that, like, Alicia Silverstone is going to fuck her stepbrother at the end of the movie, and that's nobody thinks that's weird. Which I do.
Hey, they're not blood.
Yeah, but also she's like 16 and he's like 20. Yeah. And that's gross.
That's a little... Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care for that. But the movie's good. And it's got good performances in it.
That does not fulfill the half your age plus 7 rule.
It does not.
Is that the official rule, by the way? Like,
well, I mean, it's not like a law.
Is that set in the popular, like, is that how we determine the morality of age gaps? Half your age plus 7?
Yeah, but I would say, just, you know, keep it sensible. That's my rule.
Keep it sensible.
Keep it sensible. And also, if you're like 20, if you're like in your 20s and you want to fuck a teenager, you're disgusting. Like, and that's the thing. Is like, I always thought about this because, like, you know, I would, when I was in high school, I would hear about like girls who were dating like 20-year-olds. Like, I want nothing to do with like 16, 17-year-old. Like, I have nothing in common with them.
It's really hard to imagine.
Right? Like, yeah. And, well, you know what that says about people like you and me is we're not gross.
I hope.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just, like, because I'm in a class where a bunch of people in this class are, like, 17 because they're in, like, this early college program. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, they're, like, they're children. Like aliens to eat. Well, they were like babies, but they're like aliens to me.
Cause, they are children.
Yeah, they're children. They're very much children. But that's just me. But yeah, like Strange Pursuit is great. Mm-hmm. That's a really good song.
It's okay.
Secret Agent Man is really good.
Yeah.
It's one of their dumb covers. They do plenty of those. None of their covers are as good as their cover of Satisfaction.
I'm trying to think. What else have they covered?
Working in the Coal Mine. They did Are You Experienced by Jimi Hendrix, which is really bad. That was like Smooth Noodle Maps era, so it's really bad.
I don't like Jimi Hendrix, honestly.
Well, I actually really do.
I think he's for guitar fuckers.
Well, yeah, which I kind of am.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, is he's, like, his guitar playing is really noisy. So, for me, like, that's great. Yeah. It's A, it's, like, hippie bullshit. And B, it's really noisy. So, for me, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I get it.
I just don't think his songs are that good.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Mm. I don't really agree, but I get it.
But yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that was duty now for the future.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
We're done with duty now?
Well, do you have anything else to say about it?
Well, I feel like I barely said anything about it.
Well, what other thoughts do you have?
Yeah, it's you mentioned that certain chord progressions that they do make you emotional.
And, yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on how you define emotional.
It's not like crying. It's not like hearing Whitney Houston do Greatest Love of All.
But like, I think my favorite songs on this one, like Blockhead and Swelling Itching Brain, really bring on this nervous tension for me.
Yeah,
I really like. I feel it real deep. Like
they're very much like Shrivel Up. They're very like kind of dead sounding, mm-hmm. really dark, weird songs.
Swelling Itching Brain is dark as shit, man.
Those
synths like sound like walls closing in on you. You know.
Yes.
this, I mean, the song, I guess, is about, like, having a horrible, horrible migraine from the sound of it. And it does kind of capture that feeling, you know, like, it's these notes, like, drill into your head. And
has Paige heard it?
I should play it for her. Paige gets horrible migraines often. It's really horrible, actually. Like, it's, man, it's really sad because there's just, like, nothing I can do, you know?
Yeah.
She's just, like, lying there clutching her head and moaning, and I'm just sort of, like, sitting here ineffectually and, I don't know.
Not really able to do anything to help.
It's really, like, sad.
Yeah. But yeah, migraines are horrible. I'm very lucky I don't get them.
Yeah, me too.
I had one once. As a kid, I had one. And it was probably some of the worst pain I ever had.
Yeah, and like...
And then I never got another one.
In a sense, she like laughs when I say this, but I think she's one of the toughest people I know. That like, she has this like, once or twice, sometimes even three times a week, you know? And it's horrible. Like, I don't know how she lives.
it's honestly, I
can't even imagine being her.
Yeah, well... Paige is a very cool lady.
She is. She's great. Love that girl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't really have anything else to say about this album. So I really, really like it.
You know, one thing I do like about the early Devo albums, anyway, is that much like fellow American post-punks and Ohioans Pere Ubu, they use synthesizers in a way that is abrasive and not melodic. Like, they use synthesizers to make, like, noise, disorienting noise.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something you can hear on Wiggly World, you know? You get these, like, blasts of just, like, that they throw in there.
Yeah.
And that's very satisfying to me. I like that a lot. And you can hear that on Jocko Homo, kind of, too, like...
Yeah, Pere Ubu, the way they use synths is like just thinking about that one, like the start of Non-Alignment Pact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that is like just stabbing you in the head.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Pere Ubu is cool.
Yeah, like, their first two albums are really great.
I've only listened to their first two albums. I need to hear more, and Pere Ubu is going to happen on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. But yeah. Okay, we can talk about fucking Freedom of Choice now.
Freedom of Choice is really good. I love Freedom of Choice. It's a great it's a great album.
Freedom of Choice? Yeah. I don't quite know if I would call it a great album. It is a good one, certainly.
Well, the second half is nothing but bangers.
Okay.
The first half has two certified bangers, Girl You Want and Whip It.
You don't think Freedom of Choice is a banger?
Okay, well yeah, Freedom of Choice too. Every song on this is really good. Okay. Like, I'm looking at this track list and I'm just like, yeah, every song on this is really good.
I guess there are songs on here that just sort of passed me by without making much of an impression.
Yeah, like Snowball kind of does.
Snowball, It's Not Right. Maybe that's it, actually.
Yeah.
I do think the singles are the best songs on this album, though.
Yeah.
Girl You Want, Whip It, and Freedom of Choice. And I would throw Gates of Steel in there, too.
Oh, Gates of Steel is...
Gates of Steel is excellent.
Gates of Steel is my favorite on this album.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with Freedom of Choice, personally, but... Girl You Want is great. Like,
yeah.
It's a punk song, you know? Like,
yep.
It's just that rhythm sounds very punk to me.
She sits on the top of the greenest tree. She sends out an aroma of undefined love. It drips on down.
Gives me good memories of Tank Girl.
Tank Girl, for sure. Pretty sure that's where I first heard it, actually. And that was actually, like, the version of the song that I knew for the longest time.
The Tank Girl version. Yeah, that's right, because they re-recorded it.
Yeah, it has, like, female vocals in the verses.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when I actually heard the original Devo version, I was a bit, like, struck by it. It sounds a lot more minimal than the Tank Girl version. But it's a great song.
I also remember it being in the when I was in high school in promos for the Sarah Silverman program, which is I revisited the first episode and it was better than I expected, because that was the show I was very into in high school, and I'm just like, yeah, that's probably not something I want to revisit, but It's got good stuff.
That was like freshman year of college for me when Sarah Silverman's show was on. I remember watching that with my friend Leah. And do you remember the episode where she like has to get an abortion, and it's like her like fourth abortion or something, and they play a montage of all her abortions over Time of Your Life by Green Day?
No, but that's great. That's great, because I hate that fucking song.
God, it's one of the worst songs ever made.
It's so bad. And, like, I remember being in eighth grade, and I took guitar lessons for, like, a month, and every time I would go to take my guitar lessons, there would be somebody else, like, waiting to take their guitar lesson. They would always be fucking playing Time of Your Life.
Oh, jeez.
And it was never the same person. It's always somebody else.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, and I was like, no, I don't want to play that.
How about so Whip It?
Whip It is great.
Banger.
Oh yeah, Whip It holds up.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's the song that Devo is most famous for in the popular consciousness. It's sort of hard not to hear it as kind of a novelty song, I guess, but I think it's really great.
And it's a great song.
I think it's one of their best songs, honestly. Like the rhythm is really insistent, you know, the drumming that like is going the whole time. I love the way the whip, God, there's this great moment during the hook. He goes, try to detect it. And the fucking like whip cracks right when he says tect, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is like, if you talk to not music people, and you bring up Devo and they're like, oh yeah, Whip It. You talk to music people, and they're always like, oh, yeah, they talk about their first album. It's just kind of interesting to me, an interesting phenomenon I noticed.
Right. I mean, to most people, Devo's a one-hit wonder, you know? Like, they don't know that they are a respected band that had a masterpiece.
Yeah, they had a masterpiece under their belt.
For sure.
Are they a one-hit wonder? Because Girl You Want was a hit.
Not really, I don't think. I don't think it...
Well, like, it wasn't Tank Girl.
I think you're confusing Tank Girl with Radio.
It so often happens.
Yeah, it didn't chart. It made it to 22 in Japan, apparently.
Well, it was a hit over there.
All right. But so... I don't think... If people know it over here, it's because of Tank Girl, probably. It wasn't a charting single. But you know what else is awesome about Whip It?
What?
I love that little, like, two-note synthesizer over the
chorus. That shit's great. Yeah.
And just, I love the, like... I really love it as this, like, ironic, motivational song, you know?
Yeah,
like
for Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. Like, it's just a really funny idea.
Jimmy Carter, a.k.a. History's Greatest Monster. It's not. I love Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter's probably the least evil American president, actually.
Yeah. I would agree. I love Jimmy Carter. Like, I was weird. Like, I love him because, God bless him, he tried.
He did. Not very well, but, you know.
It was the 70s. Who gave a shit? Right.
It was the 70s. It didn't matter.
But yeah, second half, side two of Freedom of Choice is banger after banger after banger.
Okay.
Like, you got Gates of Steel, you got Cold War, and don't you know, that's Pep. And then the last two songs are great, Mr. B's Ballroom and Planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Those two songs are fantastic.
Not as good as Gates of Steel, though.
Gates of Steel is, like, God, I love that song.
It's wondrous.
Oh, yeah, it's, like, majestic sounding. It sounds huge. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like, of course, the Jim Carrey film The Majestic. I've had to watch that movie in so many, like, stupid English classes.
Really?
Like high school English class.
You had to watch The Majestic?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's about, like, the fucking magic of storytelling or some stupid bullshit. I don't know. It was awful.
We had to watch... We had to take a class called Life Skills. I don't know if you had to take this.
No, but I wish I did. It sounds useful.
I guess it was in retrospect, although it was like ninth grade, though. Like, we learned how to, like, balance a checkbook at one point.
That's a good thing to learn.
Sure. But yeah, and we watched Pay It Forward in that movie. And we had to, like, write a page about, like...
paying it forward?
Right. About, like, how could we pay it forward?
The thing about pay it forward is the most emotionally manipulative shit.
It's so bullshit. Like, there is no reason. They, like, kill this kid at the end.
There's no reason for that kid to die.
No reason. Just to, like, add a little fucking, like, oomph to it.
Yeah, but I saw it when it came out, and I was like, God, when did that come out? So I was like in, like...
That was like 2000 or something.
Yeah, so I was like in fifth grade, and I was crying, because I was like the same age as that kid.
Sure.
That kid got fucking stabbed.
He did.
For nothing.
For nothing.
And it's also, it's got Helen Hunt, it's like the, you know, the brassy stripper single mom.
Right. And Kevin Spacey's all burnt up.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because his stepdad set him on fire. Oof. That movie is so bad. Also, Jon Bon Jovi is like...
Oh, yeah, the abusive boyfriend.
His shit dad, yeah. Right. It's his dad. It's,
oh, I thought it was like...
Haley Joel Osment's dad.
Oh, okay. I thought it was
yeah,
like
he comes and Jon Bon Jovi is all drunk as shit, and he comes in town and...
Yeah, and he goes into his room and listens to Last Resort.
Yeah, it's the best scene ever.
Oh, man. That song rules, dude.
What, Last Resort?
Fuck yeah, Last Resort. Nah, look. You know as soon as that fucking cut my life into pieces, whenever you hear
that. Yeah, it's got a lyrical cold open.
Yeah, you get fucking amped when that shit comes on, though. Or at least I do. I don't know about you.
That is true. I kind of do.
Yeah.
Did they have any other hits?
Yeah, they had Broken Home. Do you remember that song?
No.
Broken home, all alone.
So they really were like, they were really gunning for a certain audience.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They had another song later, actually. I think they did that song that's like, tear my heart open, so myself show.
Yes, they did.
You know that song? That was them, right?
My weakness is that I care too much.
What's that?
My weakness is that I care too much. That is such a fucking abusive boyfriend lie.
Yeah.
No, just, I care too much. Yeah. Ugh.
Do you know that song Far Behind by Candlebox?
I'm sure I do.
The one that's like, yeah, 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 yeah. Never meant to hurt you oh so bad.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I did it anyway.
Yeah, that's...
It's like, that's not an apology.
That's horrific.
That's not an apology. Like, that's just you being like, oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Like, so, I'm sorry that you got offended. Right, like, right. Yeah, it's it's yeah. Horrendous.
And that song that's like, all I really meant to say is I'm sorry for the way I am. I never meant to be so cold. I never meant to be so cold. Do you know that song?
Yes.
It's like, that's not an apology either.
Yeah, like, all these people gotta, like, learn how to fucking treat their girlfriends with respect.
Right, that's just like, I'm an asshole, deal with it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't care for that one bit.
Right. Anyway,
yeah,
talking about Tebow.
This isn't the new metal podcast.
Oh,
it's not even new metal. It's like post grunge.
Can we do a new metal podcast?
I think that we should. I've said this before. I'm very worried that when we do our inevitable Limp Bizkit episode, we'll be out of material because we'll have talked so much about Limp Bizkit.
Oh yeah, we've talked Bizkit. We've talked the biz many times over.
I went to the record store today, and they had a reissue of some Korn album, and I thought about buying it for you, but
no,
I didn't.
I would have loved that.
I know you would have, but I didn't really have enough money.
Do you know which album it was?
I think it was whatever one had Freak on a Leash on it.
Follow the Leader.
I think it was that one.
Did it have like the drawing of the girl in the hopscotch on the mountain?
I don't remember. It probably did. It better have been fucking Follow the Leader, or else what am I paying for?
That's a Todd McFarlane cover, actually.
That guy sucks.
He did the music video for Do the Evolution by Pearl Jam. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
You seen that video?
Yeah. Todd McFarlane sucked. I remember reading Spawn. Spawn was terrible.
Did you see the movie?
No, but I've heard tell.
Dude, okay, like that movie came out like right after my parents got divorced, and like when we...
So it was really rubbing salt in the wound.
Like... one of the first few times we flew, like, to go visit my mom, she, like, took us to see Spawn, and she's you gotta clean your room, or else, and then we'll go see Spawn, and we were, like, so fucking psyched, like, yeah, we're gonna see Spawn! And, like, even when I was fucking 8, like, I knew that this movie was dog shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of interesting, actually, like, when you're a kid and, like, the first couple movies you see that you're like, oh, that movie sucked. Like,
yeah, I can't remember.
Because, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know that things are bad.
Yeah, like, you just think every movie is great.
Right. You're just excited to be seeing a movie.
It's like, I have watched the shit out of the live-action Flintstones movie. I've probably seen that, like, 15 times. All when I was under the age of 10. I thought it was great. I didn't know no better.
Have you seen it recently?
No, I have not revisited it.
You don't want to...
I don't want to spoil the magic.
That fabled Flintstones magic.
Yeah, I remember Kyle MacLachlan being in it.
Oh, yeah.
Was
he Mr. Slate?
Was that the like evil boss character?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. Yo, I do want to mention Freedom of Choice on this album.
Okay.
Because I do think it's the best song on this album.
Okay.
Well,
defend your thesis statement.
I don't want to go so far as to say that the lyrical sentiment is smart, because I don't think like overall it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really like that little poem that he puts in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, he says, in ancient Rome, there was a poem about a dog who found two bones. He licked the one, he licked the other, he ran in circles, he dropped dead. Like, I do really like that he sort of sets up this allegory that kind of illustrates his thinking in just like 8 lines, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of smart to be able to do that.
Sure. I mean, I think, like, you know, freedom from choice is what you want, you know, like, chastising people for, I don't know, for not choosing or something.
For wanting things to be a little easier.
Right.
How dare they?
but I don't know, I just think it's a good song, and I like the way the rhythm kind of, like, chugs the whole time, you know, that pump.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a cool song. I like it. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay, we can talk about New Traditionalists now.
Yeah. This has two good songs on it.
What songs are those?
Pity You and Beautiful World.
Okay.
And the rest is kind of dumb bullshit.
Yeah. I basically think this album sucks. They're not punk anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I feel like Freedom of Choice was kind of a step in this direction, but it still had this like post-punk edge to it, I think.
Also, like the songs on Freedom of Choice are really good.
Yeah, that
too. I don't think these songs stack up.
Like these are just like boring new wavy synthy pop songs, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right, and they aren't as good. Like
yeah. I guess like Race of Doom is okay. Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible. But...
Yeah, but like it's okay. Like that doesn't do it for me when I want to listen to Devo.
Yeah,
that doesn't really do it for me when I want to listen to anything. I want to do better than just okay.
Right. I want to get my shit shook up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do, son.
And this doesn't do it. Honestly, just these last three albums we're going to talk about, I don't have a whole lot to say. I just think they're a step down in quality. They're not as edgy sounding to me.
Yeah.
They're not as interesting, like, in terms of the songwriting or the production. Apparently they were doing a lot of coke around this time.
Oh, were they really?
That is my understanding, yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. But I don't know, like, even just from the first song on this album, you know, Through Being Cool, there's just this lack of energy to it.
Yeah, like, nothing's really going on that song.
Yeah, where's the jitteriness, you know? Like, that's sort of what I associate with Devo.
Where's anything interesting happening? Says,
you know, I like the tension and the jitters, man. That's what I... That's kind of what I like post-punk for in general, you know, just this feeling.
Yes,
of...
it's very nervous music. It's like just when you're too fucking nervous to have anybody touch you or look at you. Like, yeah. I've been there, man.
That's what this music is for.
Yeah, and this is just like, whatever.
They're jerking back and forth.
Yeah, I don't need that. Mm. I can do better than that. I could go back further back into their catalog and do better than that.
Sure.
I do like Beautiful World a lot.
Why?
I just think it's a good song. I don't know. I just like it.
Not sure if that cuts it.
No.
You're going to have to come up with better than that.
It was a song. It was like... It was, I think, probably the first non-Whippet, non-Girl You Want Devo song I had heard. Mm-hmm. And that was where I was like, oh, I really should check out this band. They're probably really good.
You know, I don't really have a memory of, like, listening to anything besides... I mean, I don't have a memory of listening to Whippet either, but I don't really remember, like, hearing their first album for the first time. Like, it just seems to be...
Oh, I do. It was a pivotal moment.
Did it, like, blow you away immediately?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Big time.
I don't know if it did me, because I feel like I would remember it if it did.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, it's like for, you know, everyone wants it a great one. That's the thing about high school, is, like, I just remember so many times having my mind blown by an album. That really doesn't happen to me anymore.
It really doesn't. I mean, we're just jaded is the thing. Like, I think we've kind of heard it all at this point.
I think, like, too. I think, once you're not, like, in puberty anymore, I think you don't feel things as intensely.
Maybe not. I mean, I think it just has more to do with, like, I've heard so much shit at this point that it's very hard to shock me.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to give me a sound that, like, sounds like nothing I've ever heard before.
Yeah.
You know, like, when I first heard the Pixies, like, it was like nothing I had ever heard before, you know? It was the weirdest music I had ever heard.
Yeah, and now it's like I've heard, like, a million bands that try to sound like the Pixies. And...
Right. And, I mean, I've just heard stranger sounds.
Yeah. Pixies hold up.
Nah, I mean, they're probably still my favorite band of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's Deer Hunter at this point. I don't know. But
I do know how you love Deer Hunter.
I love Deer Hunter so much, dude.
I know you do.
That you're coming to see them, right?
When?
December?
I would say almost definitely, yeah.
Ah, you gotta.
Okay.
Do you want to see Def Heaven with me?
Not really.
All right, fair enough.
Didn't one of the dudes in Def have him, like, fall asleep during their own show?
Really?
I think so.
I feel like it's... It is, like, high-energy music. It's fast, you know? Like,
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just making shit up, probably.
That would be funny.
I feel like Def Heaven inspires a lot stronger emotions than I would think in people. Like, from people that don't like them. Because mm-hmm. that's the thing. Like, that's the thing with me.
I mean, they've just been, like, their Pitchfork's current, like... metal band that
yeah it's like I guess Sun was that for a while,
yeah, and like Baroness and Mastodon and I mean Wolves in the Throne Room.
Wolves in the Throne Room don't hold up for me. I remember trying to like them, and it's just I don't know, it's just kind of boring.
I love them, but I think they're pretty all right. I saw Wolves in the Throne Room, actually. They came to Greensboro.
Were they any good?
Yeah, they were a good show, actually. I had a
Did
good
they
time.
Smell bad?
They like lit a bunch of sage on stage, so.
Well, of course they did.
Yeah. Well, they're
put
like
a pinch
total...
of sage in your boots, and all day long a spicy scent will be your reward.
That's
from the Simpsons.
Ah, okay. I should just assume anytime you say something and I don't know what you're talking about, it's from the Simpsons.
Yeah, most of the time it is.
But they were a good show, actually. I had a good time. Yeah.
Cool.
They're kind of actually why I want to see Def Heaven, because, like, I don't know, I don't see a lot of metal shows, so. I think it'd be a good time.
Probably.
I'm going to go.
Okay. But you can do whatever you want. You don't have to justify your choice to me.
All right.
Your mom.
I just thought maybe you'd like to come, is all.
No, I'm good.
All right. You do have to come to Deer Hunter, though.
I'm gonna.
You have to.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about Oh No, It's Devo.
Yeah, this album sucks.
Yeah, basically.
This album sounds like, you know, it kind of sounds like kids' music.
Yeah.
But the bad kind. Not They Might Be Giants doing kids' music, which is good.
I think I like it a little better than New Traditionalists, actually.
Yeah?
Maybe for that reason, because it sounds like kids' music. Just because, like, that quality gives it a little more personality than the kind of dull synth pop of New Traditionalists. Like, this is, like, garish, you know, in a way.
Oh, it is garish.
I can appreciate that a little more. Like, yeah. they're going for something. And I do kind of like Peekaboo, which I think sort of brings back the abrasiveness of their sound in a way that you don't really hear in this latter-day career. Like, Peekaboo's kind of neat in that sense, but rest of the, you know, it's just sort of whatever.
It does have a song of John Hinckley Jr. as a co-writer. It's a credited co-writer on I Desire.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's
kind of weird.
Did they, like, incorporate things
a
that po- he
a
said
poem
in
he
it?
Wrote, apparently.
Oh, okay. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's a very Devo thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
So I appreciate that.
It's like, who was friends with John Wayne Gacy? Or, G.G. Allen. G.G. Allen was friends with John Wayne Gacy.
Really?
I'm sure they saw eye to eye on a lot of things.
Like, after everything? Or?
Yeah, like, after John Wayne Gacy killed all those people.
Right.
Yeah, they were friends. John Wayne Gacy would paint, like, pictures of G.G. Allen. You really should see the G.G. Allen documentary.
Yeah.
If you have not, it's a time.
I don't want to watch someone take a shit.
Well, then I guess you wouldn't want to watch it.
I don't know.
I mean, G.G. Allen sucks.
I don't really find him that interesting, like, even as, like, a figure. Like, not even...
Yeah, because it's kind of... But the documentary is good.
Like, I can read a paragraph about him, and that's all I really need to know. Like, yeah, he took a bunch of shits on stage and, like, flung it at people. That's awesome. What a fucking badass nonconformist.
Yeah, well, he's dead now.
Yep. So, Jeff 1, G.G. Allen 0.
Yeah, but I always enjoy when Sharpling and Worcester will do a routine and they name drop G.G. Allen because they're usually pretty funny when they do it.
I've heard the Planet G.G. bit.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Planet G.G.
Yeah.
When G.G. passed on...
I got about, like, halfway through the box set, but I stopped somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
I need to continue.
Yeah, it's just a really big time commitment, but they're great.
See, my thing is, like, I don't really find them, like, laugh out loud funny so much as I do, like, what they're doing is clever, you know?
Yeah.
And just, like, I love humor about music. Like,
and that's some of the best.
Yeah, I mean, like, being such a big music fan, like, I appreciate kind of the in-jokes and the kind of riffing on rock and roll history and mythology that they do.
Yeah, because I can't think of a lot of comedy that does... something. So I guess you talking you too to me. But...
Yeah, it's very niche humor, you know.
And yeah.
Being
I think that there should
that
be
niche,
more of that.
Definitely. But... I mean, I would love it if there was more music-based humor.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't really have anything to say about Oh No, It's Devo.
The band is all potatoes on the cover.
Yeah, what's with that?
I don't know, man.
That's kind of kooky and fun, I guess.
Have you heard Weird Al's Devo Pastiche? Dare to be Stupid?
Yes, yeah, I've heard Dare to be Stupid.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I like that song. The video
is better
funny.
Than anything on this album.
Yeah. Have you seen the video for it?
Yeah.
It's also good.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes.
Have you heard Weird Al's They Might Be Giants pastiche?
No, I'm not as big a Weird Al fan as you.
That's true. I know a lot about
Weird Al. I haven't even seen UHF.
You haven't seen UHF?
No. Sorry.
Oh my god.
Okay, well, I'll put it on next time I'm at your house. I'll
you
watch
have
it.
To.
I don't have to do anything.
You have to see UHF.
No, I don't.
It's an extremely important... Paige's shaking her head and... UHF is a big point of contention between me and Paige. Because, for the most part, we have pretty similar taste in comedy and in movies in general.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty rare that we disagree on movies, but...
But you do disagree on a... On UHF.
I mean, I feel like the greatness of UHF is self-evident and like not something that needs to be explained or argued. I feel like she's objectively wrong about this. Look, it's one of the greatest movies of all time. I will hear no arguments about it.
Okay.
And you have to see it.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
You want to talk about something for everybody?
Not really, but I guess we have to, so...
Yeah, I have literally nothing to say about this. A bunch of people were like, oh, this is really good. It's not. It's just that, you know, if you really wanted a new Devo album in 2010...
I mean, if you liked Oh No, It's Devo, I think you'd probably like this album, too.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of right where that album leaves off, I think, except with, like, shinier 2010 production, you know?
It's very 2010 production.
But, I mean, it sounds like Devo, you know?
Yeah, like, it just doesn't sound like the Devo I want right. to listen to.
It doesn't sound like, you know, the good Devo, but it definitely sounds like Devo. So I guess sort of the idea behind this album was they released, like, a bunch of songs on their website, and they asked their fans to vote on... which songs would be on the album, but then afterwards they just put the songs they wanted and said, like, "Ah, well, we didn't like what the fans voted, so we're just doing our own."
So it was just it was in the grand tradition of stupid gimmicks that Devo do.
Right, I think it was just Devo like mocking, you know,
the mocking rubes, their audience,
the rubes that make up their fan base.
Yeah, how dare they be fans of Devo?
So, like, we decided we were going to talk about this album instead of, you know, one of their other 80s albums, because, as far as I can tell, nobody likes Shout, Total Devo, or Smooth Noodle Maps. And apparently some people like this album.
Okay. Huh? What?
I'm sorry. Did I lose you?
Yeah, sorry. It's okay. It's okay.
But like, I guess some people like this album, whereas nobody likes the three albums that precede it.
Yeah, but I can't imagine anybody likes this album that much.
I guess like hardcore Devo fans were just excited to have more Devo.
Yeah.
That's the only explanation I can.
Yeah, remember. That's kind of like, you know what it is? It's like when MBV came out and My Bloody Valentine fans, which
yeah.
I am. They were all trying to tell you that MBV was good, and it's not good.
That is actually an extremely apt analogy.
Yeah.
Although I think people will tell you MBV, I don't know if Something for Everybody has been, you know, hyped to the level that MBV was.
It hasn't, but I mean,
God,
because My Bloody Valentine, like, they had the whole sort of mythology around Loveless, but yeah, MBV is not a good album.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, I think I'm still processing the disappointment that was MBV.
Were you really expecting, like, that much, though?
You know, I wasn't necessarily expecting, like, a masterpiece or anything, but I just, like, you know, like, 21 years later, and this is all you came up with?
Yeah.
You know, like...
It did feel very, very... Even the titles of the songs were like gibberish.
Yeah, like it was just like it felt so half-assed and like anticlimactic. It's like, you know, I guess I just expected something more ambitious or grandiose or something than it was.
Yeah.
And it was neither of those things. It just seemed really like shit out. Like, I can't imagine.
Like, here you go, fuckers.
Right. Like, you know, there was all this, like, oh, Kevin Shields has writer's block, you know? He doesn't want to release anything unless he knows it's perfect and awesome.
Yeah, which is a kind of dumb way to do things.
I guess. And what was Kevin Shields doing this entire time? Like,
He was, like, doing the soundtrack to Lost in Translation, which is not a good movie. BT dubs.
Have you seen it?
Of course I've seen it. Why would I say it wasn't a good movie if I haven't seen it?
I feel like we talked about it before and you told me you hadn't seen it, but...
No, I've seen it.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
I think you're thinking of somebody else. I've definitely seen it and I was not impressed.
Yeah, I don't really like that movie either, but... It does have Just Like Honey, though, over the...
Yeah, and I don't even think that that song is that great.
Oh, that's right. You don't like Just Like Honey because you're fucking Solace.
I love Psycho Candy, but I think that's, like, the worst song on it.
That is objectively wrong.
Okay, I don't care. I'm not that wedded to it.
Just for the record, anytime I say something is objectively wrong, I'm joking.
I know.
Okay.
But it's for the record. So. Yeah, so I really have nothing to say about anything Devo did post New Traditionalists.
Yeah, I don't really either. Whatever.
Yeah, so that was Devo.
I guess
time to close the book.
We ended it on almost as anticlimactic a note as MBV.
Yeah, that was the plan.
That ending was our MBV.
Yep. I hope you enjoyed it, everyone.
Do we have any final thoughts?
No, you should listen to the first three Devo albums and then you're good.
I would agree with that. Some people will tell you that New Traditionalists and Oh No, It's Devo are good.
I disagree with those people.
Yeah, I guess I do.
If you have the time and you really want to hear them,
I don't think they're terrible. Like, if those three albums, like, really light your soul on fire, by all means, check them out.
Just do whatever you want.
Don't get yourself too hyped about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't expect a whole lot, and maybe you'll enjoy them.
Yep.
You know, same for MBV, you know? Maybe if I wasn't expecting much, I would have liked it.
Probably not. It's really boring.
Yeah, it is really boring. And those songs
There's
are
just
like...
There's nothing going on.
God, I fucking hate MBV.
Yeah.
You know? Like, fuck that album. Like, I'm getting, like, pissed thinking about it.
Yeah, well, let's save it for the My Bloody Valentine episode.
Okay, we'll do that.
So.
All right. Well, I guess we're done here.
Yep.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yep. Goodbye. Well, it's a God-given fact that you can't go back. No, you can't go back. It's a God-given law that you're gonna lose your mind. Yes, you're gonna lose your mind. Well, it's a God-given fact. You gotta buy him by the sack. Gotta buy him by the sack. Well, it's a God-given law that you're gonna get small. Yes, you're gonna get small. Shrivel up. It's at the top of the list.